Thank you so much. If you have your Bibles, let's open them, please, just for a moment to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. And, of course, Easter Sunday, we'll have a resurrection message. Sunday morning, we'll have a resurrection message. Sunday night, just some practical things, a lot of practical things. And then tonight, I wanted to cover some of the pre-Easter events. And for most of you, you know this already. The Gospels, at the end of each Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it all ends at the crucifixion, the Last Supper, and the resurrection. Then Mark, Luke, John. So it's all a little bit different detail. One new Christian, someone asked him, they said, so what do you think of reading the Bible? He said, it's just kind of strange. He said, you know, Jesus was born, and then he lived, and he was crucified, rose again. Then next thing I know it, he's getting born again. He's coming back to the earth, getting born again, and then he's living, and they kill him again. He said, four different times. So no one ever explained to him it was four different views. And so that's the facet that these Gospels give. And they are good news because he ends up the hero. I could call Sunday's message the death of death. Isn't that great? The death of death, because Jesus wins. And so to speak, if we could see invisibly, he puts his foot on the devil's neck as he's coming out of that tomb. He's stepping on his neck. And that's what the victors did when they won a battle. They would take the enemy king, lay him down, and step on his neck and just kind of help him not breathe much. And just letting people know, we have defeated them. And so that's what Jesus did when he came out of the tomb. And so we're going to just look at and not try to rush through too many things tonight, but there's so many nuggets. Here's what I do, just a secret. I never want the birth of Jesus to get old. And so when I read my Bible during the year, I've done this for decades, I never read the birth of Christ. I never read the Christmas story until Christmas. And the week of Christmas, I read all four of the accounts of the Christmas story. Same thing with Easter. When I'm reading through the Gospels now, I'll skip the crucifixion and the resurrection. I'll wait till Easter. I just want to soak it all out. And that's what I do. And maybe you don't want to do that, and that's fine. But there's nuggets. There's just gold nuggets in each of the Gospels that deal with the last week of Christ. And so let's just look down in Luke 22 for just a moment. Luke 22, and the title of tonight's message, you'll see it at the end, is Lessons from the Easter Money. A little play on words, huh? What? Lessons from the Easter Money. And so Luke chapter 22, did we get that one unit on? That one unit, thank you so much. Luke 22, and let's look down into verse number 1. Notice what it says. It says, now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. So they're synonymous. Feast of unleavened bread, Passover, same thing. And then if you'll look down into verse number 24, and it says, and there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. Now, we're not going to turn to just tons and tons of scriptures. We will get to some of that, but I want to just kind of give you what this Passover is all about and what Jesus probably did that night before the arrest. And so if you'll just kind of bear with me, I'm just going to try to put some things together. Lord, bless this brief time we have. Help us to appreciate our Savior, and not just the crucifixion, but all the suffering, all that led up to it, all the symbolism. And Lord, just help us, please. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we believe that probably, if you look at the dates and times, they had two Sabbaths. A Sabbath means seventh. So oftentimes we'll say, oh, the Sabbath, that's a Saturday. In many cases it was, but in the Jewish calendar, sometimes a Sabbath just meant a seventh. Because we see that the Sabbath was the day after the crucifixion, And then we also see that the Sabbath was the day after the Passover. As you read scriptures, you'll see it seems like it was like two in a row. And you can look at that later, and I wouldn't argue with someone on that. But I believe probably Jesus, when he had the Last Supper, it was a Wednesday night. It was a Wednesday night, and here's why. So he gets arrested Wednesday night. He's held. We've been in the cave where they held the prisoners, the praetorium. He was held on a Thursday night. He was crucified at 9 a.m. Two different timetables. It says the third hour, which starts at 6, and the sixth hour was... So anyway, it was two different timetables, but probably crucified at 9 Thursday morning. On the cross, 6 hours, so that'd be 3 p.m. So he's on the cross. They take him off. He's in the grave part of Thursday, all of Thursday night, all of Friday, all of Friday night, all of Saturday, all of Saturday night. Tomb opens. He's gone. If Jesus was crucified on a Friday, like the Catholics teach, then he would have been in the grave Friday night, Saturday night. That's only 2 nights. The Bible says 3 days, 3 nights. He said he refers to Jonah as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and 3 nights. So shall the Son of Man himself be in the heart of the earth. Same time. So part of 3 days, part of 3 nights, 72 hours. I'm not exactly sure on that. I wouldn't argue or stay up all night on it, but that's where I think it is. And so what was this Passover meal? Let's remember just for a moment. Passover, two words. Old Testament is two words. New Testament and today on the calendar, it's one word. So Passover, you remember the story? Someone help me. What was going on? Who was the character? Yeah, okay. It was the last plague. Moses, let my people go. It's going to be the death of the firstborn. And so God told Moses the plan. He said, here's the plan. He said, I want you to pin up a lamb without spot, without blemish, a male. Pin him up 4 days. Make sure he's not diseased. Nothing's wrong with him. He's got to be exemplary. And then after 4 days, I want you to kill that lamb. And he said, I want you to take the blood and put it on the door posts. And so that would have been on the sides. There's nothing but floor here. So the door posts and at the top of the door. So think of the cross when Jesus was crucified. His hands would have been bloody. And then with the crown of thorns up at the top would have been bloody. And so put the blood on the doorpost. And then he says, and when I see the blood, I will pass. Sometimes we call it the death angel was coming. Was it Jesus passing over? Was it an angel? But he says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And so all of the Jews knew if they followed God's plan and applied the blood, wasn't enough just to pin the lamb up. Blood had to be shed. So many religions, they never mention the blood. They have no songs about the blood. The blood is not exalted because that makes us look like bad sinners. And so that's why we love to sing about the blood. In the book of Revelation, it says, and they defeated the devil by the word of their testimony and the blood of the Lamb. And so it's always wonderful and powerful to sing about the blood of Christ. And so many songs in our hymn book. And so the death angel, when I see that blood, I'm going to pass over. You'll be safe. So it's the blood of Christ that saves us. It's the blood of Christ that keeps us from going to hell. He sees the blood. By the way, the blood is on the mercy seat right now up in heaven. And God never sees our sins, but he does see the blood. And just wonderful, wonderful thing. And so that's what Moses did. They applied the blood. And I'm sure it was a very tense evening. Dad, did you put enough on the door? Dad, don't just put a lot. You know, what if the angel can't see well? You know, and especially if you were firstborn. You know, if you were third or fourth, hey, I don't care if we have it or not. I don't even like my older brother. And can you imagine the younger brother's running out? I'm washing it off the door. You better not. And you know, Jewish kids are still kids. But I can imagine, you know, as that death angel came over, the firstborn just sweating it out. Dad, what time's he coming? He's coming at midnight, the darkest part of the night. It's 11:58. It's 11:59. I'm sure the wife is praying. Boy, I hope my husband got it right. I hope he got right. Hope he applied it right. Hope the lamb was pure. And I'm sure they sweated out. Midnight struck. 12:01. 12:02. 12:03. And then they started hearing screams all over Egypt. Because they never believed. They didn't apply the blood. They didn't kill the lamb. They didn't trust in the Savior. And of course, every home had a death in it. And that's what teeter-tottered and sent Pharaoh over the edge. He said, all right, take them, get out, and bless me also. Hey, get your stuff now. And so it was a hurry. And of course, they came out. And here's what happened. Once they fled, and once they crossed the Red Sea, and all of Pharaoh's armies were drowned, God had a talk with Moses, and he said, what just happened, this Passover, where I passed over and spared your lives, he said, I don't want you to ever forget it. I want it to be an annual celebration. I want it to be an annual feast. So you never forget, I brought you out of Egypt. It was me, a miracle, and it's the blood that saved you. Never forget it. So he told him how to do it. He said, I want you to sweep your houses. I don't want there to be any leaven. Leaven is a symbol of sin. It spreads. Little leaven in the bread, and it spreads and spreads. Just like yeast, it spreads. He said, no leaven. We'll call it the Feast of Unleavened Bread or the Feast of the Passover. He said, clean the house. He said, I want you to kill a lamb. I want you to roast a lamb. I want you to have bitter herbs because of the bitter bondage you've had. And the Lamb, of course, pictures Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And as you eat Him, you're symbolizing, I receive all who Jesus Christ is. He's my strength. He's all I need. And so there'll be a celebration so you never forget what I did. So it's like our Declaration of Independence. It's like our 4th of July. And so it was to be a feast. Now, you help me. So with Thanksgiving, how many years ago? Hundreds of years ago for us. Does every family in America feel real patriotic and think about the pilgrims some people even call Thanksgiving Turkey Day. I mean, it's not even Thanksgiving anymore. So if we've done that, can you imagine what the average Jews have done through thousands of years? You know, they've changed it up. It may not, you know, they may not even have lamb. They may have, who knows, maybe they're having steak. But they remember it. They're celebrating something. So in Jesus' day, a couple thousand years later, they were still remembering this feast of the Passover. All right, you follow me? So the Wednesday night before Jesus' arrest, Jesus is celebrating the Passover with his disciples. Think of the symbolism. The lamb is eating lamb. The Lamb of God, who is celebrating the Passover, it was his blood that made the death angel pass over us. So much symbolism here. That's why he said, with much desire, I've wanted to eat this meal with you. And so they are there. Jesus is not just having the Last Supper at this table. Sometimes we think, so they went in the upper room, he gave them bread, and they had juice, and some people say it was alcoholic wine. I don't believe it was. I think it was just grape juice. And so that's not all they had. They had a meal. So they ate an entire meal. He said, they ate the meal. Then at the end of the meal, he institutes the Lord's Supper. He says, this bread symbolizes my body. This cup, and he called it the cup. Another place, the fruit of the vine. He never called it wine. And Scripture never called it wine, not one time. He said the fruit of the vine are this cup. Pass it and drink it amongst yourselves. He said, it's my blood that is given for you. This bread, break it. It's my body broken for you. And it's interesting. The bread was always broken. It was never cut. They taught us that in Israel. It wasn't cut. It was broken. And that's why on the cross, we think of Jesus' body broken for us. Several blanks here then. They ate the lamb and the bitter herbs. So that's what they're eating here. And it began, of course, the first Passover was before, was after they crossed the Red Sea. Passover lamb was eating the Passover lamb. The Lord's Supper, that's the two blanks, was instituted. What's interesting, one of the famous, the most famous painting of the Last Supper. Anybody remember his name? Starts with a D. Da Vinci. First name, Leonardo da Vinci. So he painted all these people, you know, Jesus. Well, he left Jesus, but he did John, James, Simon, Peter. He did all these people. And he had a rift with someone in the town. Da Vinci did. And I read this. And so he was so angry at this guy. He knew his paintings would be immortal. They would live on for centuries. So for the face of Judas, he had him with the bag. He painted the face of his enemy, Judas. And then he started to paint the face of Jesus, and he couldn't paint it. Pretty good, huh? He couldn't come up with the face that ought to be Jesus. Not until he erased his enemy's picture on Judas and just painted some anonymous person could he paint Jesus. Interesting. You never get Jesus right if you're not right with an enemy. Okay. Man, I knew people be shouting and jumping the pews here and that, but that's a cool story. That's a great story. So here's some of the order of the events. Look at this in Luke chapter 22, 18. Here we go. And let's just jump in because we'll get to this money in just a second. Luke 22, 18. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. So they had the meal. And then notice what else they did. Look back to Matthew 26, if you can get there. Matthew 26 and verse 30. And this is mentioned at least once in the Gospels. It was customary, and it's customary today with the Jews. They have like 15 things they do. They'll eat a hard-boiled egg, and they'll dip this, and they'll have four different glasses. And it's a lot of things they've added that Moses didn't say to do. But it says, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. To me, that is what an example. Here's Jesus, knowing in just a couple of hours he's going to be betrayed, going to be crucified, laughed at, mocked, spit upon, beard plucked, stripped, hail King of the Jews, crown of thorns. All his disciples are going to forsake him. He knows in just a few moments, and he says, let's sing. He sang because he had a song in his heart. Throughout the book of Psalms, it says, we are strangers and pilgrims. He's given us songs for our pilgrimage. We're just passing through. Scripture says he's given us songs in the night. Paul and Silas sang at midnight. God always gives a song in the darkest and deepest days. I don't think Jesus just sang because it was required. I think he really had something to sing about. I love that. But then what did he do after this? We don't have time, but if you want to look at it later, just jot it down. John 14, 15, 16, 17. Here's what he's doing. They finish the meal. They're singing. Then he talks about heaven. He says, let not your hearts be troubled. Isn't it crazy? He's comforting them. They should be comforting him. He's comforting them. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, I mean, he said, hey, fellas, you're going to be okay. There's a heaven. Chapter 15, the vine and the branch. I believe at this time, chapter 15, he's walking to Gethsemane, and he's saying, boy, look at all the vineyards. Look at all the, hey, fellas, look, Man, if you're not close to me, you're not going to bear fruit. I'm the vine, you're the branch. He's teaching. He's saying, look up, there's a heaven. See the vine, see the branches. Then 16, he goes into, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. The Holy Spirit will come. He will comfort you. I'm not leaving you by yourself. Chapter 17, he just stops and prays his high priestly prayer. Lord, they've all been saved except one. I've done what I came to do. I've finished your work. He's just praying. That's amazing. Chapter 18, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. And right here in your notes, Gethsemane means olive press. So it's called the Mount of Olives. Some of you who've been there, it's this mountain. It starts in the valley. Here's the city gates. And so here's this valley, all these tombstones. You can see Absalom's tomb and others. And then as you're coming up, there's the Garden of Gethsemane. But the whole mount is called the Mount of Olives because there's all these olive trees. We saw trees they believe to have been 1,500, maybe 2,000 years of age. We kind of scattered and just sat under an old big tree praying, hoping maybe that tree heard the same prayers of Jesus. It was kind of cool. Interesting. Olive press, that's where they would put the olives and press them until the juice came out. And that's where Jesus felt such pressure that the blood started coming out. He sweat great drops of blood. Interesting. The pressure was starting. The suffering didn't start on the cross. It started hours before that. Hours and hours before that. So we see this as well. Then we see, looking in Luke 22, back over to Luke 22. I want you to see this for a second. We see the part that Judas played. Luke chapter 22. In one place, Jesus said it'd be better if he was never born. But Judas still had a choice. He had a choice in what he did. Notice what it says in verse number 3. Luke 22 and verse number 3. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. It's interesting. We may look at one of the passages. But at one of the Gospels, it says, when Mary anointed Jesus with the ointment, one of the disciples said, why was this waste? Terry Angel, our guest speaker, preaches a whole sermon on just wasting away. I think I'll just waste away. One of the disciples, why such a waste? This is a year's salary. Why would you pour it on Jesus? And the one who said that was Judas. He looked at someone treating Jesus with tenderness and kindness and comfort before the crucifixion as a waste. Some people would look at your life and my life and say, what a waste. Every Sunday in church when you could be golfing, when you could be fishing, when you could be at the lake, when you could be camping. What a waste. All the hours you guys put in visiting last week. What a waste. Hey, it's never a waste when it's given to Jesus Christ as a gift. And so think of Judas. Here he is. The Bible says he said that not that he cared for the money, but that he was a thief and he had the bag. Scripture talks about women ministering to Jesus of their goods. Think, Jesus was full time, so everywhere he went, he healed, he taught, he healed, he taught, he preached, he answered questions nonstop. Where do they get food to eat? He's got 12 men traveling with him. Where do they get this? Women ministered. They brought groceries. I'm sure they made meals. When he was in town, people cooked and they took care of him. And then sometimes people just say, look, here's some money if y'all need something else. Judas had the bag. So he was the most trusted disciple. He had the bag. But the Bible said he was a thief. So what's this talking about here? It says, then entered Satan into Judas. Only two people in Scripture we know of are ever Satan possessed. One was Judas. The other was President. No, not a president. The other one will be the Antichrist. He will be a human, totally possessed by Satan. We have many people in Scripture. The Bible says the devil, a devil went in them. They were devil possessed. But two for sure, Satan himself possessed. One was Judas. So how did this happen? Well, he was a thief, but he acted like he was one of the disciples, so that meant he was living a lie. Satan is all about lies. He's the father of lies. He was living a lie. And then at the Last Supper, when Jesus said, one of you guys is going to betray me, Judas says, Lord. No, he didn't say Lord. He said, is it I? If I was Jesus, I'd have sucked him just right in the nose. You know it's you. Attack him. That's what I would have done. But he was an actor. Is it I? And here's what Jesus said very subtly, a disguised answer. Thou sayest. In other words, you said it. Then he said, what thou doest, do quickly. And he left. None of the disciples ever thought it was him. They thought he just went to buy something for the feast. Amazing, huh? And so it says that Satan entered in. He believed a lie. He told a lie. He lived a lie, then he died a lie. Biggest failure in the entire Bible had to be Judas. He saw Jesus walk on the water, saw him multiply the lunch, saw him raise the dead, heard him preach the Sermon on the Mount, and never believed. Someone said, there's never enough evidence for someone who chooses not to believe. One of the scriptures in the gospel says, and though they saw all those miracles, they did not believe. It's a sad thing. That's why it's hard sometimes trying to logic with someone how to get saved. It's like telling a blind man how beautiful the sunset was tonight. You can't explain it. God has to do a miracle in their life. So here's Judas. He's all messed up. The olive press and on and on. Jesus and money. Let's talk about this for a moment. Look over here. I want to see five passages. Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 20, and this will kind of add up here. But Luke chapter 20. And let me encourage you. Read the crucifixion this week. Maybe the arrest, the trial. Let the Lord tenderize your heart. Probably take you about 25, 30 minutes to read all four. But I encourage you to do that before Easter. But Luke chapter number 20, and looking down into verse number 24. And Jesus says, verse 22. Is it lawful for us to give tribute to Caesar or no? But he perceived their craftiness and said unto them, why tempt ye me? Show me a penny. Whose image and superscription hath it? Here's what I love. Jesus didn't have any money on him. He needs an illustration. He needs a picture of the Caesar. He didn't have a dollar. He don't have a coin. He don't have a piece of silver. He has no money. And he was still a happy person. Isn't that amazing? Contentment. He goes, anybody got any money? Here's a coin. He goes, whose image is on that? Caesar's. Jesus said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Render unto God the things that are God's. So what's that mean for us? That was tax money. That's what he was talking about. Matthew 17:27. I love the story. If you want to look at it, you can, but 17:27. And so Jesus comes through town. And it was customary. You're a stranger in that town. You're supposed to pay some type of a entrance fee or some type of tribute. But Matthew 17, and looking down in verse number 27, and the scripture says, 26, Peter saith, 4. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, doth your master pay tribute? He said, yes. In other words, he said, does your master, does Jesus pay his taxes? Yes. How did he know? And when he was come to the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Peter saith unto them, of strangers. Jesus saith unto them, then of the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea, cast a hook, take up the fish that cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take, give unto them from me and thee. Boy, I love that right there. So Jesus said, hey, I don't want to offend by people thinking I don't pay my part. I'm paying my taxes. That's great. Oh, and tax day was yesterday. Extended to today. Look how this happens. And I love this too. When Jesus paid, he paid for Simon's too. I believe that kind of lets us know, if you ever went out to eat with Jesus, who you think would pay the bill? He would. He'd wrestle you for that receipt. I guarantee you. Why? Because he's not going to owe anybody. I'll take care of it. I love it. So we see the tax money. Then we see other money, looking down in Mark chapter 11 for just a moment. We'll end up on Easter, so hang on just a second. But we see in Mark 11, not only do we see tax money, but now we see dirty money. We see dirty money. Mark chapter 11, looking down into verse number 15. And it says, and they come to Jerusalem. Jesus went into the temple, began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, overthrew the tables of the money changers, the seats of them that sold doves. Verse 17, he taught, saying unto them, it is written, my house shall be called of all nations a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. Now, is it wrong to have a bookstore in the church? No. Is it wrong to pay for Dr. Seuss tickets for the ladies' banquet? Yes. No. Is it wrong to collect teen camp conference money in the lobby? No. What he was saying, though, these people were coming to bring in gifts to the temple. They traveled from afar. And some of them didn't have the right currency because they're from another country. Or maybe they didn't have the right animal. Maybe they had a cow and they needed to turn it into money to give. And so they were charging too much. They were charging a fee. And somehow they were making people not excited about giving. And that's why Jesus flipped those things over. So sometimes there's dirty money. Years ago, my dad had a gun. It's a long story. But my mom told me he just pulled up to a post office box, you know, where you mail letters, those big boxes, and he opened it and threw the gun in the mailbox. And my mom said, what are you doing? He said, it's a dirty gun. And that's a long story. So right here, Jesus flipped over the tables because it was dirty money. It was money that they shouldn't have been receiving. And then we see here, look down in John chapter 12, if you will. We talked about Judas for a moment. John chapter 12. Now we have embezzled money. John chapter number 12, looking down into verse number 6. And we just kind of quoted this. Notice what it says. John 12, 6, talking about Judas. Then he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. 13:29, he ends up saying this. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things which we have need of against the feast, or he should give something to the poor. So here's Judas. So here's money keeps coming up. There's tax money. There's dirty money in the temple. Now, one of the disciples is stealing money that people legitimately gave to fund Jesus' ministry, and he's taking it for himself, and no one knows. And then we have, looking into Easter here, the blood money. The blood money. Looking back to Matthew chapter 27 for a moment. Matthew chapter 27, the blood money. Notice what it says here. And, of course, this deals with Judas again. So notice what it says, Matthew 27. So now Jesus is arrested, and I've tried my best to figure out. So maybe I can figure out why it was at night. Jesus had a lot of followers. It's the Passover season. Jerusalem's not 75,000 people. It's maybe 250,000, maybe 500,000 people. There are people everywhere. They're camping out for this feast. Hundreds and thousands of sheep are being killed for these meals. And so maybe Judas said, if we arrest him at night, none of his fan club will see. So why would Judas tell the soldier, the one I kiss? Well, wouldn't everybody know who Jesus was? Well, the soldiers probably wouldn't. They probably weren't in the crowds listening to him preach. So at night they could quickly arrest him, have a quick trial. It's still night. Everyone's sleeping. So there it is. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. They're nailing his hands to the cross. That's pretty early. And so we see Judas here. What's he say? He finds out Jesus is going to be crucified. I don't know what his plan was. I have no idea what Judas was thinking. Have no idea. Matthew 27 and verse 4. Verse 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself. Repented simply meant changed his mind. Maybe he wished he wouldn't have betrayed him. Repentant did not mean that he was sorry for his sins and he was now trusting Christ as his Savior. That's not what that meant. Judas never got saved. He did not go to hell because he committed suicide. He went to hell because he died lost. He never believed it. Here's Pilate having trial with Jesus. And he said, are you a king then? Jesus said, I am, but not of this world, or my servants would fight. He said, you're a king then. He said, yes. He said, well, I'm going to release you then. He said, no. He said, those who've delivered me to you have the greater sin. You're sinning, Pilate, but they have the greater sin. Pilate faced Christ and did not get saved. His wife said, have nothing to do with this just man. I've suffered many things in a dream. Did not get saved. Two of the thieves nailed next to Jesus Christ. Both of them rail on Jesus and say, if you're the Son of God, save yourself and us too. 6 hours later, one of them says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. The other one dies and goes to hell. So close, so far away. Both just a foot away from the Savior. One got saved, one didn't. Isn't it amazing? You got saved. Probably people close to you don't even believe it. It's just an amazing thing. The grace of God. Grace and faith that he gives to each of us. So the blood money, there's verse 4, saying, I've sinned and that I betrayed the innocent blood. He's innocent. They said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And then it says in verse 6, and the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful for to put them in the treasury because it is the price of blood. Whose blood? Jesus' blood. Verse 8. Wherefore, that field was called the field of blood unto this day. And in the book of Acts, it's interesting, that field is called Aceldama, because it said when Judas hung himself, I don't know if he jumped out of a tree, I don't know what he did, but when he hung himself, that rope broke, he fell, and it said, and his blood burst out. And so, I don't know how all that worked, but it was Judas' blood in that field, but the blood he betrayed was the blood of Jesus Christ. So we see, here's some blood money mentioned, 30 pieces of silver. Someone looked that up, and they said it's the price of a crippled slave. A slave that could not walk good, that's what he sold our Savior for. The one that fed him 3.5 years, the one that trained him, housed him, gave him a position, loved him, preached to him, taught him. He sold him out. You know, it's interesting. If you've ever worked with farms or sheep, we have a lady in our church that works with a lot of sheep. When it's time for the slaughter and all these sheep, it's interesting. Isaiah 53 says, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter that was dumb, that opened not its mouth. Who usually leads those sheep to the slaughter? Usually it's a goat. They'll train a goat to lead all the sheep into the slaughterhouse to be killed. You happen to know what they call that goat? A Judas goat. Feels no guilt leading someone to the slaughter. This is him. Interesting. To this day, I have never met anyone named Judas. It's interesting. I mean, it's like, boy, that's taboo. When I was in Africa, I heard a lot of weird names. You know, people just read the newspaper. That'd be a good name for my baby. I mean, we met carburetor, door frame. Here's the sad one, worthless. Worthless. Pastor's daughter's name was Universe. She had a big smile. I don't know. Judas. And then look at this. Here's where Easter comes in. Look at this, and now we're out of time. Matthew 28. You say, well, Pastor, when you guys go to Jerusalem and all these places, how come all those Jews aren't saved? There's a bus station in front of Calvary right now. So the wall, the background with the two eyes, the place of the skull where Jesus was crucified, it's a parking lot. So his cross would have been like on that ground level, right, where the parking lot is. The empty tomb, thousands of people visited every year. Wouldn't you think, I mean, here's Mount Nebo where Moses got the Ten Commandments. Here's Nazareth where Jesus grew. Here's Bethlehem where he got born. It just seems like here's the Jews. They're living right there. Why don't they get saved? Here it is. Look at it. Matthew chapter 28 for a moment. Look down into verse. Matthew 28 and verse, I think it's verse, here it is. Verse number, Here it is, verse 12. 28:12. And when they were assembled with the elders, this is talking about the guards and the council, the people that wanted Jesus crucified. This is after his resurrection. And had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. Now, there's several things wrong with that. You help me. Roman soldiers versus fishermen. What do you think? Who are you putting your money on? 12 Roman soldiers, 12 fishermen. Roman soldiers. So if a soldier ever let a prisoner escape, it was death penalty. We have that in the book of Acts. Paul and Silas, doors of the prison were open. The prison guard started to jump on his sword. Why? Because he knew his life would be taken. So that's a strange thing. So if they admitted we were sleeping, that would be their life. But then they were paid to say, while we slept, the disciples. How do you see the disciples when you're sleeping? None of the story makes any sense. Even if they woke up, once the disciples grabbed Jesus' dead body, when disciples are carrying a dead man, don't you think Roman soldiers could probably outrun them if they're carrying a dead body? And it says, verse 14, and if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money. An entire nation would not believe the gospel or the resurrection because of what we call hush money. Shh. Shh. Don't tell anybody. And did as they were taught. And this saying, look at this, is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. You ask a Muslim, you believe in Jesus? Yeah, he was a good man, good prophet. Did he die on a cross? Yeah, he died on a cross. Did he rise from the dead? Ask a Jew, who was he? Good man, good prophet. Did he rise from the dead? It's all because of money. Money can be used very evil, for much evil. It can be used for a lot of good. I'm glad we have a risen Savior. He was man enough and God enough to go through Gethsemane, go through the trial, go through the cross, and never turn back. And I'm glad that at the end he said, it is finished, not I'm finished. What a Savior we have. Let's major on how wonderful he is. Let's major on that verse where he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. He came to Lazarus' tomb and spoke and rose him from the dead. He's the resurrection. He can bring life into any area we need. We need him tonight.